This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, everybody, welcome into a special episode of Pickaxe and Roll on site here at Legal Denver, one of the organically cultivated and sustainably grown weed dispensaries around town here in Denver. It's just off of 6th Avenue here on Cuevas Street. They do a great job. If like they're organically sourced, they're doing everything that they can to kind of keep up the, like, when it was medical marijuana back in the day. This is the place to be for all you original stonies out there. So thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hopefully we can continue a nice, solid relationship with our friends over at Legal. Just met the owner here named John. He's a great guy and a big, big Nuggets fan. And we're going to talk Nuggets. We're going to do a normal episode of Pickaxe and Roll after this, but just wanted to give them a nice little lead in for and thank them for allowing us to podcast here on site and then kind of sort of collaborate with them at Mile High Sports. If you hear some background noise, I apologize. We're outside here. Wanted to get a little bit of good scenery and get the background here over at Legal Denver. Make sure to go check out all of their products here over off of 6th Street. All right. On this episode, we're going to do a variety of things. First thing I'm going to talk about is the NBA Finals. I'll do a little bit of an NBA Finals preview. If you've noticed, if you've seen any of my content, I've been sort of avoiding talking about other teams in the NBA playoffs because why would Nuggets fans want to hear about other teams? But the finals are about to get kicked off. We'll do that. We're going to talk about what the Nuggets didn't do that the Celtics and Mavericks maybe did. And then we are going to discuss the TV deal that just happened. This was an interesting TV deal between three separate entities, and it sounds like TNT's still trying to get involved. So we'll talk about all of that. Should be very, very interesting. I'm looking forward to this episode. But first, I got to talk to you about our friends over at BetOnline as well. They're your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the games head on over to their live casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, maybe some slots. Head over to their website today to get in on the action and use promo code BELEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off on your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. All right, it's out of the way. Let's get into the show. This is going to be a fun one. This is going to be an interesting one. The NBA Finals are now getting going. The Boston Celtics, not a surprise that they are in there. But the Dallas Mavericks are a surprise, a fifth seed from this season. They did make a midseason trade to sort of change up what their roster was. And then I think they got the relatively the easiest pathway that they possibly could. They didn't have to play the Nuggets, but that's the point, is that you play the teams that are in front of you. The Nuggets never got in front of the Mavericks in order to stop them. But Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, PJ Washington, of all people, those guys are now in the NBA Finals. And Luka Doncic, who has had one of the best playoff runs that we've seen of late, he's got an opportunity to solidify himself as the best player in the NBA, which is not something that a lot of Nuggets fans would like to hear, especially those that think that Nikola Jokic is the best player in the NBA. But in order to do so, he's got to get through the Boston Celtics, who are the better team. They might be a team of destiny. They've won 64 games. They have been incredible in these playoffs outside of a couple random game twos in the first and second round. But this really feels like the Celtics' season to lose, in my opinion, where they've got the run. They did not have to face Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. They did not have to face Jimmy Butler when facing the Miami Heat. Tyrese Haliburton got injured in the Eastern Conference Finals. Hell, Donovan Mitchell got injured when facing them in the Eastern Conference semifinals. It's been interesting to see just see how they've won that war of attrition, despite the fact that Kristaps Porzingis has been out as well. Been fascinating to track that. It's been fascinating to see what that team is really evolving into over the course of these next couple weeks here. But they've survived even without Porzingis. Al Horford, one of their steadfast veterans, who's the sixth man in their basically six and a half man rotation. He has really stepped up, and I mean, he's been great. That's age old Al, the veteran of the team. He's in his age 38 season. How insane is that? But I want to get back to the Mavs, because they're the surprise team here, obviously. Not only do the Celtics have to slow down Luka, who has been, I think, he had an argument to win MVP this year. Let's not beat around the bush about it. He certainly had an argument. I don't think he had the best argument, but there was a reasonable case to be made that he was the best player this year. And it's just fascinating to see how these things evolve, where Jokic clearly had a great case to win MVP the previous season. When the Nuggets won the championship, obviously that went to Joel Embiid. But Jokic, one of the things that sort of helped him was that it's a little bit of motivation. Hey, they're going to keep disrespecting you. The team, I think, was really able to rally around that. And I think the Mavericks have really rallied around Luka, but they've also really rallied around Kyrie and all of the stuff that he has gone through, some of it to his own volition. I don't necessarily have a bunch of sympathy there, but he has proven the doubters wrong. Luka has proven the doubters wrong. Not that there were that many doubters for Luka the Don, but he has been unbelievable, especially after sort of getting healthier throughout these playoffs, which is not usually something that happens. But in a situation where Jamal Murray really struggled to handle the ball pressure that guys like Jaden McDaniels and Anthony Edwards and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, those guys were able to put on him, Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving have been taking turns. Just they battered the Minnesota Timberwolves and did a great job. So they're playing at the peak of their powers. They're doing a really good job. They're going to have their toughest test, of course, with the Celtics. And the Celtics do have some great perimeter defenders, and they've got some versatility. But one of the things that really stands out about them is that their guys are smaller. Jason Tatum is 6'8". He's a bigger dude. Jaylen Brown, I think, is listed at 6'6". He might be actually 6'5", like a big 6'5". And he's strong. There's no doubt about that. Derek White, 6'3", 6'4". Drew Holiday, 6'3". Like, these guys aren't huge. So facing a guy like Luka Doncic, who's, I think, physically comparable to LeBron James from a strength perspective, that's going to be a challenge for them. And I wonder if they can actually slow him down. I also wonder if Kyrie Irving, who's facing a former team, will be extremely motivated. I mean, of course he'll be extremely motivated. That, you don't want that basic analysis, but he's going to be very, very motivated to stick it to his old team, a situation that didn't necessarily work out for him. Not necessarily for those guys, but like in the players there, but certainly for the organization that was not super happy with the way that he handled things. And like I said, some of it is his own volition. But they've got multiple players that can really go at it. The one thing that's really separated Dallas, in my opinion, is the shooting that they've had, the athleticism that they have going to the rim. And in theory, the Celtics should be a team that can switch everything, that can do a lot of things on the ball. But I'm just not sure that Al Horford is going to be the guy that can really handle that matchup and switches. Like, he could do it in part, but switching on to Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving is a little bit different than switching on to even Tyrese Haliburton or switching on to Darius Garland or even Donovan Mitchell, frankly, especially when he's being hampered. But it's fascinating to track that. I'm curious to see how they'll handle it. We'll get a really good picture of what it looks like over the course of these next few weeks. I think that the Celtics will have some issues guarding Dallas at the three-point line. As a result, they're going to collapse. They're going to try to stop and slow down guys like Luka and Kyrie. And it's going to be a lot on guys like Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford at the rim. Can they find some opportunities for some easy baskets? Can PJ Washington convert some threes? He was great in the first two rounds, PJ Washington was, but then he shot 25% from three against the Minnesota Timberwolves, which PJ Washington shows up. Will Derek Jones Jr. continue to shoot the lights out like he has? That's an interesting one. Kind of came out of nowhere for them. And then can they get a little bit of help off of their second unit? All fair questions. But the problem is that the Celtics are the Celtics, and they've won 64 games for a reason. They should be getting back Kristaps Porzingis. And if they do get back Kristaps, then I'm not sure how the Mavericks guard the Celtics. I'm really not. Like, they are going to space the floor in an extreme way. Having guys like Gafford and Lively out there is great, but only if you're really able to protect the rim. With the Minnesota Timberwolves matchup, it was easier for them to do so because they could just stick their center on Rudy Gobert. And yeah, sure, they'll switch a little bit. And guys like Lively's a pretty mobile big for who he is, and he's obviously very young. They'll try to take advantage of that. But it's going to be a fascinating matchup going back and forth. The one thing that really stands out, I guess we'll talk about this a little bit on the other side too, but both of these teams are very reliant on the three-pointer. Dallas is going to do some self-created shots with Kyrie and Luka, but more than anything, I would say that Boston is extremely reliant on the three-pointer. That's going to be one of those things that if the Celtics hit threes, it may not be anything that Dallas can do in order to actually slow them down. I have no reason to believe that Dallas can actually slow them down. It's going to be very fascinating to see who guards Tatum, who guards Jaylen Brown. Both of those guys have been basically just as good as the Luka Kyrie duo from both an efficiency and a creation and a responsibility standpoint. But Derek White has also been tremendous for them. And like, they've just got so many weapons, man. It's really hard to see how the Mavericks are going to actually slow them down. I could see this going maybe six games, but I kind of think Boston in five, maybe Boston in six. I will give Kyrie and Luka the benefit of the doubt from that, just that they are good enough that they can win two games by themselves. But I just don't trust this Dallas supporting cast to handle the NBA Finals. It reminds me a lot of the Miami Heat last year where, yeah, they got some great production from guys like Duncan Robinson and Gabe Vincent and different players like Kevin Love. And those guys were able to really handle their business in the Eastern Conference. But this is the roles reversed where the Celtics are just the team to beat. They've been the team to beat for the entire season. And even though Denver won their matchups with them early on, it still felt like the Celtics were going to be on a crash course for the NBA Finals, no matter what happened in the West. And the Nuggets always had a tougher path. Part of that tougher path is just sort of navigating the injuries and the other matchups out there. And Dallas did that really well. But I'm going to say that, like, just heading into it, I do not expect a ton from the Mavericks. Okay. Tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat about what the Nuggets can learn from the Celtics and the Mavericks themselves. It should be very interesting. But first, I want to tell everybody about Legal. I want to tell everybody about another sponsor as well after that. Legal's was very kind to host us here. They've got so many options, man. That's the one thing when you're going to peruse their website, when you come in to the actual building, you're going to be wowed by so many options and so many different strains and balms and oils and every sort of product that you're looking for from a cannabis and a marijuana and a CBD standpoint. You're going to find it over here at Legal. They've got great help. They've got great options. They've got some edible options. I think that's what I'm going to try to take home if I can. But I'm looking forward to seeing what I can get at over the course of these next couple hours. Should be very fun. So head on down to Legal Denver over off of 6th Avenue. The address, of course, is 380 Cuevas Street in Denver, Colorado. They're organically cultivated and sustainably grown. Also want to tell you about Number 38, who is the home base for watch parties for Mile High Sports. We've done some great shows with them, some great pregame podcasts, postgame podcasts with them. And they've got such a great venue for hosting large gatherings, for talking to different people, making sure that you get the best bang for your buck when it comes to drinks, when it comes to experience, when it comes to food, brunch. I love their chicken sandwich when I go down there. That's my favorite thing to get. And I like to go get myself a Moscow Mule when I can. So make sure to go head on down to Number 38. They do a great job. And we've been doing $15 pitcher deals with them for whenever we've done a watch party. So when on our next watch party with either Denver Stiffs or Mile High Sports, make sure to go get yourself a $15 pitcher. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Did you know that there are over 200 plus cannabis dispensaries in Denver? So how do you choose where to shop? If quality above all else is what drives you, then make sure to take a trip to Legal. Since 2010, Legal is a true mom and pop shop featuring one store, one cultivation, and doing it right for 14 years. Legal offers the best organically produced and sustainably cultivated flower in Colorado. Legal provides house-grown legacy strains and new cultivars along with carefully curated selections of edibles, concentrates, and clones. Mention you heard this on Mile High Sports and you'll get $10 off any purchase. Located at 6th Avenue and I-25 at 380 Kivas Street. If you're looking for convenience, they offer delivery as well. Legal, a cannabis dispensary for the discerning connoisseur. Be sure to check out our friends at Legal at l-eagledenver.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll. Ryan Blackman here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show live on site. For Legal Denver, we're hoping to do some deals with them. They are great Nuggets fans and very excited to be here. All right, let's continue. Let's talk about what the Nuggets can learn from the Boston Celtics, from the Dallas Mavericks, the two teams that actually got it done this year. I was listening to a couple of other shows, and one of the general sentiments is that, yes, the Nuggets were good enough to win the championship this year. Nobody disagrees with that. They were one of the favorites, if not the favorite, for much of the season. The problem was that when the playoffs got around, they didn't kind of show up. They didn't put the best foot forward. I don't think I ever saw the Nuggets really comfortable in their own skin in this playoffs. And part of that was because the Lakers and T-Wolves did a great job of making Denver uncomfortable. They did a great job of bothering them, and the player that they bothered most was Jamal Murray, of course. What you can see with the Celtics and the Mavs specifically is that you need two stars playing at the absolute highest level that they can to win. You got to survive the war of attrition, and so many of these teams, they have two stars, but actually getting those guys to play like stars in the playoffs has been a challenge. And for the Minnesota Timberwolves, like Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns were trading off. They were doing a great job when one guy wasn't necessarily having the best game, the other one would step up. And that ultimately faltered in the Western Conference Finals because Luka, Kyrie, and the Mavericks were able to expose them and expose the size in a couple of ways. They were able to get downhill. And while those players are still, like, they're still clearly very good, the problem that you run into is when those guys aren't playing at their peak levels, it put a ton of pressure onto Anthony Edwards, and he just wasn't able to handle that in the Western Conference Finals. You back up a little bit even more to the semifinals when Denver lost, and it's just so clear to me that if Murray was at the level that he needed to be throughout the entire playoff run, then the Nuggets would still be playing. Like, they just would. I think they would match up reasonably well with this Dallas team, although Dallas did give them some issues back in, I think, March when they played in the regular season. But I just think that the rest of the team made sense, especially the starting group. But so much of Denver's starting lineup hinges on the fact that they can create and make tough shots in the in-between game. And that is where Murray himself really shines. where he's able to deliver the ball to Jokic in the middle of the floor, where he's able to create some space and hit the tough shots that he's asked to take. And you look at what the Celtics and the Mavericks have done, especially, and those guys are like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown have been dynamic throughout much of these playoffs. I mean, Jaylen Brown won Eastern Conference Finals MVP for a reason, because he's been so efficient. Just looking at his numbers, he's been really good. Luka Doncic was carrying such a heavy burden for the Mavericks that his efficiency wasn't good, especially early on, but it's improved, and he was at his best when facing the toughest perimeter defensive challenge that he had to face. And that's just not something that Jamal Murray was ready for physically, and or maybe even mentally. I don't know. Like, I can't speak to that, but it is so important to have both of your guys playing well at the same time. Kyrie Irving's played great for Dallas while he's been there, and kind of an unsung hero for them, especially when Luka has been as much a part of MVP conversations and best player conversations as he's been. It's not a one-man show there anymore. It's a two-man show. And having players that can take the pressure off of your lead guy is so important. So the next time the Nuggets make the playoffs, the next time they get into this, I'm thinking that Jamal Murray's just got to be the best version of himself. He has to be. Like, that's a requirement. Next, versatility. It matters more than anything else beyond like just your two guys playing great. You have to be able to solve different problems. And the Nuggets weren't able to solve the Minnesota Timberwolves problem, where they were so layered into the two-man game, into Jokic post-ups, into Murray isolating with the second unit. They weren't really able to create much more than that. And for Denver, that's the problem that you run into when you become not necessarily one-dimensional, but when the dimensions that you have are able to be sort of taken away. Actually, I'll use a baseball metaphor since my guy AP is in the background. He's doing Locked On Rockies now. When a team takes away your fastball, or when the scouting report, especially in the playoffs, when you take away the team's best pitch, when you take away a pitcher's best pitch, and then you take away their second best pitch, how many guys have a third pitch that they can capably go to when they need to every single time? And that's what the Nuggets needed. They needed, like, when the first option doesn't work, when the second option doesn't work, how good is the third option? That's not just Michael Porter, despite the fact that he's their third option offensively, but it is the ability to go to different things. And part of that is the bench. Part of that is the versatility aspect of things, solving different issues as they arrive. The Nuggets ran into that and they caved. They could not find a way to do it. I don't necessarily think a full bench matters, because when you look at what the Celtics and the Mavericks have done, I see Al Horford and Derek Lively really changing games for their teams. I don't necessarily see that much coming from the rest of this, like the second unit. So for Denver and for what they have to remember, everybody understands that Bruce Brown was such a big deal for the Nuggets last year. Everybody knows that. And I don't necessarily blame Calvin Booth and the Nuggets for losing him, because as I've gone over several times, they couldn't do anything about that. Bruce Brown got a contract that he could not refuse, and Denver could not match. The problem that Denver ran into, especially last season, was they were okay with running back a team that didn't necessarily have to replace Bruce Brown. They didn't really try that hard. What Denver did was they drafted three separate rookies. They re-signed Reggie Jackson. They re-signed DeAndre Jordan, and they just let it lie. And they were thinking, okay, let's see what Christian Brown can do. Let's see what Peyton Watson can do. Let's see what Reggie Jackson can do in an expanded role. And we believe that those guys, when you piece it together, will give you just as much value as you need that Bruce Brown gave. The problem was not the regular season, though. The problem was the playoffs. The problem was that Denver needs a player, or they needed a player that could fill different roles, that could fill and wear different hats for them. And if you are the Nuggets, you got to try to find that again. You got to try to find that as best as you possibly can, because as good as Christian Brown and Peyton Watson are, and I think that those guys can do some things going forward, I still think of Christian Brown as a little bit of a limited option for what the Nuggets are looking for. He's not necessarily your Bruce Brown replacement. Maybe he's your long-term KCP replacement as like a fifth starter, But if I'm Denver, I think you got to find some other external option that is a change of pace, that is somebody who can give you a jolt of energy, whether it's on the offensive end, the defensive end, or both. I think you got to find somebody who can do that. Reggie Jackson, not enough of a jolt of energy. Peyton Watson could not play in the playoffs when Denver needed him to. Christian Brown, I mean, I went back through and I looked at some of the numbers between Bruce Brown and Christian Brown in the playoffs, and they are not kind to Christian. Does that mean that he can't do it in the future? I don't know. And we're going to have to find out. Like, maybe the development of Christian Brown and Peyton Watson actually helps out next year. But can the Nuggets bet on that solely? I don't think so. So if I'm Denver, if I'm trying to recreate, not necessarily recreate, but evolve in the way that teams need to evolve, especially with the second tax apron the way that it is, and all the restrictions that they have with the CBA, I'm thinking that they've got to come up with a better option off of their bench as best as they possibly can. So we will see what happens, but I'm thinking just off the top of my head, off the top of the dome, a couple Bruce Brown replacements that you could be talking about. Ayo Dosunmu, who I've mentioned prior to. I don't know if Chicago would ever relinquish him, but I think he's the perfect option that you'd be looking for in this case. As a traded option for Zeke Nagy's contract, throw as many draft picks as you need to. Maybe you work in a Julian Strother or even, hell, a Peyton Watson, just to try to get somebody like that. I don't know if they'll be able to make that work. I don't know if that's even feasible, but that would be my ideal. Next is Jordan Clarkson, Cole Anthony, a couple of different traded options that, like, they'd give you more offense as opposed to defense, but that would be a good jolt of energy for the team going forward. Gary Harris, De'Anthony Melton, DeLon Wright, those are more defensive-minded options, hopefully guys that they could get in a free agency capacity. I think De'Anthony Melton is secretly a really helpful player that Philadelphia lost during their run, and he, like, an injured guy that, like, they missed out on during the playoffs, especially, he would have been really helpful, and I think he's a good player, so that's somebody I'd be looking at. But Gary Harris, everybody's familiar with. DeLon Wright, I think he's a guy that everybody's talked about enough as well. But between those six, Ayo Dosunmu, Jordan Clarkson, Cole Anthony, Gary Harris, De'Anthony Melton, DeLon Wright, different variations of the kind of guy that I think Denver needs, and if they were to get it, who knows? Maybe that changes everybody's perspective. All right. Let's take one more break. When we come back, we will discuss the NBA's new TV deal that popped up. I think that that's going to be a very interesting thing for NBA fans going forward, and maybe it impacts the Nuggets in some way too. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, we're back. Final segment, Pickaxe and Roll. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. Make sure to like, make sure to subscribe, make sure to give Legal Denver some love. They're doing a great thing for us here, and we'd love to continue our partnership with them. All right, let's get into the final segment. I'm going to talk about the NBA's new TV deal that is just, like, I'm not sure if it's official, but the numbers that were established pretty officially were 11 years, $76 billion between three distributors, ESPN, NBC, and Amazon, surprisingly. So no TNT there. Pour one out for TNT and Inside the NBA. It's a funny show. Doesn't try to be too serious, but I might be in the minority on this one, but I also think that it's kind of time. The NBA needs to continue to evolve, especially for their newest audience. And Inside the NBA has been on for a long, long time. Those guys are tremendous. There's no show that is better. But in order to continue to raise the standard for NBA coverage and what the NBA needs to look like going forward, I also think that sometimes you need to evolve. So there is at least an argument for that. We'll see what these other programs kind of put together. I know that NBA on NBC has long been a thing, that especially back before they lost their rights, that was a thing that I didn't watch the Jordan Bulls. I was born in 1996, so sorry. But I figured that should draw back some nostalgia from some older fans. But the real one here that I think a lot of people are interested in is Amazon. That was one that, like, given that the NFL has had some success with Thursday Night Football, with some different playoff games and distribution stuff that they've been able to put out there, Amazon is one that I think should have a lot of people interested in what the future of the product looks like and how the future of consuming content is going to change for fans. I wonder if this could be a springboard moment for Amazon and the live sports variety. And I also, like, I'm pointing to the in-season tournament. That's one where I would take a hard look at if I were Amazon. What if they were able to acquire the exclusive rights to air the elimination games for the in-season tournament? And thinking about some of the things that they could do with that and thinking about how that affects the NBA fan in general. Amazon Prime, it's becoming a kind of a necessity to watch some sporting events. And so I think this is, like, it's going to help it become even more mainstream for a lot of folks. So curious to see how it evolves, but that's one that I would be looking at. I'd be looking at, if I were them, sort of in the way that they acquired Thursday Night Football. I wonder if they use this as a springboard moment to not only get some games during the rest of the regular season, but to get the in-season tournament itself. That could also be something that Adam Silver decides. But what about the money? What about the rest of the deal? So 11 years, $76 billion is a lot of money. And actually, the interesting thing, TNT seemingly trying to get big, like they're trying to get in on this deal as well, maybe get some more regular season and playoff games to become a fourth distributor in that realm. But I'm not sure if they're going to be able to handle it, if they're going to be able to take that on. Clearly, they made a decision that they weren't going to be able to get to a certain dollar figure. Not sure what they're going to be able to add to the table here. That makes sense. But like that would involve some reconfiguring of the deal that they've actually put together. But how does the money affect the NBA? How does it affect the Nuggets? Well, from the last TV deal that came out back in, I think that deal was signed in 2014, but it ultimately took into effect in the 2016 offseason. If you remember, that was the year that Kevin Durant signed with the Golden State Warriors because of the big salary cap jump. Like, that was a massive, massive kind of earth-shattering moment for the NBA itself. And I don't think it's going to happen the same way. I think that they're going to try cap smoothing. That's going to be something that really has to take into effect. But if you're the NBA, you don't want the Warriors. You want to continue to add parity. That's the way that Adam Silver has decided that he wants to go. So they're going to do a thing called cap smoothing, which means that the salary cap, it's only going to rise at a maximum of 10% every year. I believe that that's what they've been doing over the course of these last couple of years. And I think that it's going to continue. Maybe that changes. Maybe they reconfigure some things to make it rise 12% or 15%. But if you remember back in 2016, it jumped like 30%, 40%. It allowed Kevin Durant to go pair with Steph Curry. That's not what the NBA wants. So I don't think it's going to be like 2016, but we should still see some opt-outs from free agents in order to make sure that they are free agents in 2025, which is when, like, the 2025-26 season, that's going to pop up. The Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon contract situations come to mind for that. So Jamal Murray has one more year left on his deal. Aaron Gordon has one more year and a player option. He'll probably decline that player option unless Denver can come to a terms with a veteran extension for him. I wonder if those guys really try to hold out for some of that extra TV money. it wouldn't surprise me if they try to leverage that, which, if you're Denver, should give you more incentive, not less, more incentive to try to lock those guys in going forward and as soon as possible, making sure that you can lock them in at a reasonable rate. And I know a lot of people have had some criticisms and questions of Jamal Murray and the number, like, you're not going to want to give him a max contract. No way. Maybe they can avoid giving him a max contract, but there is a certain number that they could probably agree to. What is it? 4 years, $180 million? Because I think the max you can give is 4 years, $200 million. If you think that there is at least a possibility that the cap could jump and spike as opposed to be a cap smoothing process, then you want Murray locked in on an annual deal that doesn't have, like, escalating numbers, the 8% raises or whatever that Denver can give him a maximum. I think that that's going to be something that really sort of shifts the decision making for Denver going forward. And because of that, it also does affect the KCP free agency situation. Like, Denver, if they could lock in KCP at maybe a descending contract figure, then that could help them going forward. If they're willing to kind of stomach the tax bill that they'd have to pay this year, maybe it actually affects them in a positive way going forward. But all these things, the most important thing that really helps is that Denver's going to get more money to play around with. Like other teams that are flirting with the second apron, they're going to get more flexibility because of this contract. They want as much money heading into the NBA as possible so that they can navigate that second apron a little bit more effectively. And this is where Calvin Booth also looks pretty good for locking in some of those several rookie scale contracts like Peyton Watson, like Christian Brown. And if they work out, Julian Strother, Jalen Pickett, Hunter Tyson. So we'll see where it continues to evolve from there. But I'm curious to see how Denver fares going forward. Okay. I think that's basically it for what I've got for sort of on-site coverage here at Legal Denver. Not much more for Pickaxe and Roll on this particular episode, but again, I want to make sure that you stop by Legal, give them some love. They also do some online ordering, I believe. So if you can't make it all the way down, still take a look at their website, which I believe is Legal Denver. Let me check to make sure that I've got the... Yeah, it's Legal Denver, LEAGLEDenver.com. And you'll see a great layout that they have with a bunch of different things on their menu, whether it's edibles, like I'm very curious in, if it's actual vapes or concentrates or flower or pre-rolls, whatever you're looking for, head on down to Legal or check out their website. They're doing a fantastic job in the marijuana business. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button on the way out. I will talk to you guys very soon.